if you look at how the average Egyptian learns about politics or news, you have three sources. The first one is national media, which is facing big trouble. I mean, Egypt is classified as number 164 in the press freedom scale globally. The second source for information comes from foreign media, like, you know, BBC, like the Voice of America, like others. The third source of news comes from social media. And if you look at what Egyptians like these days, it is usually social media. And that's why that has become a tool in political discourse, political opposition. Everybody is using the social media. They trust the social media more than they trust the national media, because they know that national media is more restricted. It doesn't have much freedom like in the past. And also, you have to understand that in the Middle East, in general, rulers are untouchable. Even when you have some sort of press freedom, you can attack the minister, the prime minister, some of the public policies, but you cannot reach the rulers. And so, in social media, you know, there was this breaking this taboo of the untouchable with the videos by Muhammad Ali, who used man of the street language, average man of the street language. He was not using academic language that nobody understands and, you know, would turn away the average Egyptian. Also, people like to hear about corruption in high place and allegations, and they like to have a fight and hear a fight while they are safely watching from their iPad or their computer. So they like it. Why this is happening? A lot of reasons. The government has a big problem in communicating public policy, in being transparent, why it is doing this, why it is doing that. This is not the first time they have problem. Remember, they had a big problem when they handed the two islands in the Red Sea to Saudi Arabia. There was no prior explanation. There was no preparatory explanation of why this is happening. So this is not different. The only good thing interesting about this political phenomenon is that social media are now becoming a weapon among opposition and the government. All are fighting and using that. And that's why it has become a big phenomenon in Egypt.
Some analysts argue that by using Facebook to attack the government, Muhammad Ali was able to penetrate Sisi's tight grip over the national media and reached millions of Egyptians, something opposition parties failed to accomplish. Do you agree with this analysis?
Yes, Ali was an insider, and that is the difference between him and Egyptian opposition who live abroad. They were never part of the system, and so his discourse is very different and more credible. Also, opposition in general in Egypt is very divided, fragmented. You don't have a unifying national program. You don't have a charismatic leader. And they have always been, nobody believed in them. They don't have credibility. So they have also been tarnished by, you know, when some of them accepted foreign backing and residence in countries that are at war with the Egyptian government in Qatar or Turkey. And they also became suspected by the public opinion when they associated themselves with the Islamists and the Muslim Brotherhood. And so this was considered not really attractive. And so even when they say similar discourse by Muhammad Ali, it was not credible. It was not believed. And they just felt that it was serving a different agenda, a foreign agenda, not a national agenda. Ali comes with his own discourse, and he is from inside the system. That gave him more credibility, and people began to listen to him, especially when they felt that he has nothing to do with the well-known but, ill-reputed opposition abroad.
With no sign of Ali's viral campaign ending, what kind of impact would this social media campaign have on Egyptian political scene?
This is a cumulative effect. It is not a knockout attack on the regime. The regime still enjoys very strong regional and international backing, plus internal social forces who fear the unknown alternative. If the opposition fails to present a coherent national program, nor a charismatic leader, this incident may lose momentum in time as the discourse becomes repetitive or too wild. Like, for example, when Ali began to call for a new mass revolution, like 2011 revolution, this is unrealistic. And if this also does not materialize into anything, he would lose credibility because he is, you know, showing a bigger need than he can digest. This is too much. I mean, he cannot be Ali Jivara. This is too much for him. And the conditions in Egypt after two revolutions, these people just feel they don't have the stomach for a third revolution. So I don't think that this would lead to a big change in the government in the near future.
Did President Sisi succeed in dismissing these allegations?
The problem with the statement by President Sisi is that he did not add that I'm also building schools, hospitals, infrastructure. So he just answered the issue of policies. He was cornered into the issue of policies. And that, of course, would make the public, you know, talk about the whole issue as should we, is the national priority policies or schools or hospitals. So, of course, this is embarrassing for the government and can also make people suspect what is being done. So the government will have to do more effort in selling its public policy from now on, because people may think, oh, maybe this is not money for, or this big taxation is not going for infrastructure, for school, but for policies. They have to clear up this mess. It is understandable if you build a new city or a new capital that you must build landmarks, but one of the landmarks is not the ruling palace. It should be a museum, it should be universities, labs, research centers, a big park for the people, but not a royal or a Republican palace.